This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, I'm Sharmila Ganesan on The Bigger Picture, and this is our arts review segment, Everyone's a Critic. On the show, we'll be discussing, dissecting, and generally getting excited about all sorts of arty things. Today, we're looking at Di Antara Itu Dan Ini, an art exhibition that is currently on at the National Visual Arts Gallery that's curated by Fergana Art. Joining me today to discuss the exhibition is artist Ruby Subramaniam, who also runs Art Battle Malaysia. Great to have you back, Ruby. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me here today.
Not at all. Always lovely chatting about art with you. So, Di Antara Itu Dan Ini. Before I go into what the curator's brief was on the show, Do you want to quickly tell me what you came away with in terms of the one defining theme of the exhibition?
I think really it was an artist's impression of trying to say there's this unseen world around us and how do we interact with that world, right? And some artists, I suppose, see it a bit more clearly, see it in the context of Nusantara, of Southeast Asian context, fairy tales and myth. And so I came out of it seeing it in a rather spiritual way, I would say.
Mm. So for me, the biggest takeaway was actually literally what the title of the show is, Di Antara Itu Dan Ini.
Yes.
There's a very strong sense of being caught in between, yep. A very strong sense of tension, mm-hmm. sometimes a harmony, mm-hmm. Which I really enjoyed, actually. I think overall, I really enjoyed this show.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think I came out of it with a bit of anxiety, and it was not necessarily a bad thing. It was, I suppose, just reflecting my personal emotions going through the exhibition, and came out of it really wanting to explore my own thoughts a bit more between these two worlds and how do, if I had to create something, what would it be like for me?
I find that your take on it, right, it's it's very interesting because when you talk about spirituality or myth, it is literally being in between two worlds.
Yes.
And while that may not have been necessarily what the exhibition decided to go for, a lot of artists did use that approach. And, you know, it makes you wonder whether it is a Nusantara thing.
Yeah.
You know, is it something that is that we are drawn to in this region, that creatives and artists in this region tend to talk about these issues, about tensions between different situations by turning to these things that are not quite of this world.
Yeah. I guess when you go beyond your current world, and especially as artists, you have to explore different worlds, right? And that's what artists do. They go to another world and they try to capture something from that world and bring it back to the audience, right? So they are basically travelers. And I would say travelers could be any kind, right? Not just physical worlds. And so it feels like the artists here have gone on to other worlds that maybe we aren't aware of. And maybe these are imaginations or fragments of their own minds. It could, you know, we'll never know. But it's amazing to see that manifesting in this huge works of art that obviously has taken a lot of labor and love to let it come alive. And that's the story of the people, isn't it? That they live in these different worlds that perhaps don't make sense, but who are we to say it makes sense or not?
Yeah, I like the word fragments, which you just used, because it does really have that sense. There are artists in the show who have taken bits and pieces of old movies.
Yes.
You know, there are artists who have taken literally interview clips. You know, there's one piece that has an interview by Reza Piyadasa, for instance.
Yes.
There are artists who have taken bits from mythology. There are artists who have taken from culture.
Yes.
You know, so I think fragments is actually a really good way of describing some of the works that are in this show.
Yeah.
I think before we go into speaking about individual works that we liked and sort of an overall impression, it might be useful to talk about what it is that the exhibition intends to do. Basically, Di Antara Itu Dan Ini, which is curated by Fergana Art, is supposed to be a response to us as a nation going through this you know, huge political change with Malaysia Baru and the new government and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to also be about being caught between, I suppose, the old and the new, you know, itu dan ini,
yes.
A different state of being, different ideas of power. And the curator's notes also talks about how artists now have to, or Malaysian artists rather, will have to learn new ways to deal with political power, politicians, institutions that champion the arts, buyers of art objects, and to also negotiate and think about their own independence or whether they are a part of the system. It's kind of a very big and complex theme, I think.
Yes. I actually read it and I saw that and I was a bit excited because of the last show we did as well. So I was looking forward.
You mean Tetare with the flag?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that we had very literal, you know,
responses
images
and
using the flag and very strong relationship about the country. And so I did go in wanting to find that relationship and sort of maybe, for me, in my head at least, it was like, hey, okay, let's see what are the senior artists talking about or their involvement with the country's future, right? But although I went in there wanting to find that connection, I could not make it. Like, and I couldn't force it either. And I just had to then look at it from a very personal point of view. And that's when I felt like this was something quite spiritual for me. And it felt that I had a different connection with the works than perhaps what it was intended.
In a way, though, maybe that's what worked for me. Because I think going into something like this, and there have been so many works and exhibitions since the elections that have responded very directly to the events.
Yes.
So in a way, it's kind of nice that while the themes are things like power and choices and the old and the new, identity, all of these were really present in the works, but they were not present in a way that seemed like it was so literally talking about only these elections. I liked that.
Okay.
And maybe because in a way I had already framed that this is a, you know, it is a response. So I could also pick out those themes, but I didn't feel like I was being hammered on the head with it, which was really good.
Yes, yes.
What stood out for you?
I think with Tengku Sabri Ibrahim's work, Kuda Sembrani, right? So when I saw that, so that's a wooden sculpture, really, and with sort of four legs and very disproportionate vision of how a horse looks like with four pointy triangle-shaped as a head, right? And in the description, he calls it a makhluk mystic. And basically, it says that it can fly anywhere but doesn't have wings and it ran away during the war. It felt for me a very ancient being. Also, perhaps I've been really exploring very Nusantara sort of tales in my travels and exploring Malaysia again. So when I looked at that piece, it was very powerful, you know. It was it felt like he had taken all these stories we hear about jinns and the stories we hear about these mystical beings, you know, and he had given life to it. So that's why I say it's spiritual, because these are stories we hear from in our country, but we don't actually see them unless, you know, someone draws or makes something about it. So this sculpture was powerful in that sense because he had given life to a story we just merely hear. Of course, then he had, like, I suppose, was it like 12 pieces?
Actually, Tengku Sabri Ibrahim's, I suppose it's not one work. It's like a series of works.
Yeah.
Was one of my favorites as well.
Okay.
Probably one of the most powerful for me in the entire exhibition. And it was born from, he's a sculptor.
Yes.
And then he had a stroke, which prevented him from being able to use his hands.
Yeah.
And so this collection of works was basically to describe it, I suppose it's first you kind of get that context mm-hmm. that this is a sculptor who can't sculpt anymore.
Yes.
And then he basically started doing sketches
mm-hmm.
of his experience, documenting his experience as a stroke survivor.
Yeah.
And then you see a series of those sketches, yes. which culminates in a sculpture
yes.
that he designed and, if I'm not mistaken, completed with the help of assistants. And it was, to me, just... It was so powerful
mm-hmm.
because he was so raw
mm-hmm.
and he uses this concept again, this idea of jinns and
yep.
and he literally calls the stroke a jinn.
Yeah. So if you speak to Malaysians outside of KL, right? Mm-hmm. So they're all really like, they all believe in jinns and very superstitious and stuff like that. So to see 12 sketches of what seemed like really dark drawings, right? Because the first drawing, I think he was like crippled in the bed mm-hmm. and like he's saying, you know, I can't feel this side of my body anymore. And there's certain naivety to the artworks being drawn mm-hmm. that sense. And there's a lot of raw energy in the lines and the figure as well. You can feel like he's sort of just using his hands and just trying to make those lines, right? But despite that heaviness, if someone had gone through some sort of a physical, you know, not being able to move or not being able, that fear, right? As an artist, what happens if you lose your hand or
yeah.
inability to yeah. move? So that was like putting you right at the spot, right? To say, I'm stuck in this bed and I can't move. And, you know, I'm going to the toilet and I fall down and, you know, and I'm seeing things.
Mm.
And you hear these stories a lot, right?
Yeah.
Like our friends who go to the hospital. Yeah. There's a story there or something like that. And he just recorded all of those stories in his perspective.
And the sense of, as the viewer, you don't know quite what was real, what wasn't,
yeah.
what he had experienced at that time.
Mm.
The simplicity of the art,
mm-hmm.
You know, the deceptive simplicity of the art actually did a lot for you. Like you said, it was a very relatable, like it puts you right there.
Yes.
You know, you don't need to decode. We are all scared of nightmares.
Yes.
You know, we all, when we were children, imagined something coming to get us.
Yes.
And so like this really connects with you on that level.
Yeah.
Where you bypass your intellectual side and it just hits your emotions and,
mm-hmm.
and your imagination.
What came out to me also, the fact that these drawings are so dark, right? Like 12 drawings of being stuck and like you're needing to battle all these demons and, you know, all of that. And he had these really cute boxes on. I don't know
yes.
if you noticed that. So just the boxes alone had like the smiley face on it and very yellow, you know.
Yeah.
So despite all of that, I suppose the artist still had the humor in him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that for me was really like, hey, powerful, dark, whatever not. But as humans, I'm still wearing my boxes and it's going to be yellow, you know. And that was very human, right?
Mm-hmm.
That in this whole experience of me going through this, I can still choose to wear my favorite boxers. And that gives me some control over the situation.
Yes.
Perhaps.
Yes.
So that's what I suppose I took out of it.
Mm. It for me, the culmination of that journey, which ended with that sculpture, was
mm-hmm.
extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The sculpture in itself, of course, is very interesting.
Yeah.
It's called Jin Sakit Atas Wilmana, or a sick jin on the Wilmana.
Yep.
Wilmana is like a magic flying chariot. You know, for me, suddenly it's like, hang on, so is he the jinn that's sick? Because, you know, he's drawn himself as, you know, ailing in bed the whole while.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end now, I was wondering, so is he the jinn or is the ailment the jinn? And, you know, for me, the sudden, like, twist in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that the sculpture itself is a sort of triumph, right? Because
yep.
at the end of this series documenting his struggle and then to finally see that work of art,
yes.
you know, it does, as you said, it's dark.
Yeah.
But it at the end, it also feels triumphant. And maybe that's some of the, you know, to connect it to this theme of what Malaysia has been through this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's where I saw the connections.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't need them to be overt.
I suppose when you put it that way, maybe as an artist, even if you lose your skill sets, right, your own skill sets, you haven't lost your mind yet. Mm-hmm. And maybe to others, it seems like you are because you're talking about jinns and all of these things, but you can still create, mm-hmm. right? And you can pass on the idea and someone else can do it for you. And maybe that's what the country has been doing, mm-hmm. right? Certain people have lost power, but the power still come back around when we've still won. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's how this all relates.
Right. We do need to take a break.
Yeah.
But when we come back, we've hardly gotten into the other works. So,
yes.
You know, let's talk about some of the other works when we come back.
Okay.
I'm with artist Ruby Subramaniam, and we're reviewing Di Antara Itu Dan Ini, an art exhibition that's on at the National Visual Arts Gallery until the 18th of November. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Everyone's a Critic on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Sharmila Ganesan, and you're listening to Everyone's a Critic on The Bigger Picture, our arts review show. I'm with artist Ruby Subramaniam, and we're discussing Di Antara Itu Dan Ini, an art exhibition curated by Fergana Art at the National Visual Arts Gallery. So before the break, we spoke a little bit about one particular exhibit or one particular series of works that we both connected with very powerfully.
Yes.
Were there any others that spoke to you?
I liked Tan Nan Si's People Are Watching. And this, I suppose, going back to the whole Di Antara Itu Dan Ini and the political aspect of it, right? So her work had like two eyes and this bright, vivid orange and a lot of sequins sewn in it. And so there was a bit of thread. And one particular eye had, I think, three drops of sort of what looked like a teardrop, mm-hmm. right? I thought, although it would have been, I suppose, the smallest work in the entire exhibition.
I must admit, I almost completely bypassed it because it was so small.
Yes.
Yeah.
And exactly why I thought it was, again, strong for me. Because when we talk about ethics, it is what we do when people are not watching, right? So if you have this idea that someone's watching you all the time, what are you doing? You know, then how ethical are you really? So if these things are watching the people in power and all these political politicians had that to do the right thing, to be ethically right, and they had this being watching them and they are aware of it, would they be doing things differently? You know, so for me, when I saw that, I was like, yes, that's strong because it's very, again, easily dismissed because you think people are not watching, right? So it's an artwork that I think with the title, the execution, and even the particular section it was being put in, it was connecting back to the entire context of the exhibition.
From something so sort of small.
Yes.
I think my other favorite work is actually the opposite. It is probably one of the most outstanding works, primarily because it's the first thing you see when you walk into the that gallery, which was Mat Anwar Ismail's Perintas Ribut.
Mm-hmm.
So he's done a whole bunch of Perintas Ribut sculptures.
Yep.
This one is Perintas Ribut number 21.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it, right? Like, it's so grand and imposing. It's a sculpture, but it's actually painted canvas, which has been stitched together.
Yes.
To create this rowers, but they look very fantastical.
Yeah.
On sort of arc of water.
Yeah.
And it's been mounted on this wall. And,
yeah.
you know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful, but it's also so, I found, you know, the beauty and the power of what it looked like
mm-hmm.
versus when you go up close and mm-hmm. you see that they're stitching and the canvas
yes.
has all been stitched together.
Yes.
And suddenly it looks a bit grotesque and a bit disturbing.
Yep.
I really liked that. For me also, there was a very masculine energy
yes,
about it. A lot of power, a lot of force and, you know, masculine in that traditionally defined sense, of course, which is what we associate with politics.
Mm-hmm.
And while I enjoyed the beauty and it reminded me of that sensation of, oh yeah, you know, we have a new government and
yes, okay.
Yeah. But then when you look up close and you look at these pieces stitched together and,
uh-huh.
and as I said, you know, a little bit grotesque.
Yep.
And again, for me, like, yeah, that is kind of what it was, you know, a month later, 2 months later,
okay.
and then things start feeling a little bit more like, okay, yeah, that initial attraction and that rush, and but now it's time to look at the underbelly of this thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a little biased because I actually love almost everything Mara Noa Ismail has done.
Okay.
The Perinthas Reboot series is one of my favorites. This one was such a different interpretation of the sculptures he's done before.
Okay. Well, when I walked into it and I saw this huge sculpture, I really just took it as a wooden carving, mm-hmm. right? And so to go, like, you know, really stare at it closely and then to find out he's made it with wireframes and then put canvases and then stitch them on top and then gotten this particular look and feel to it, I felt the amount of work we needed to do to get to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever who has been on the boat, masculine perhaps in the way they look, but it's also a lot of power, right? Mm-hmm. Like you need to have, when you're, you know, going against the tide that way, you need to have strength. You need to, it's also a lot of teamwork.
Absolutely, yeah.
Everyone's coordinated to go towards one direction. So that's what I saw with this particular sculpture, that there were different, I suppose, components or different parts and all of them working together. And that got us to, or that may be getting us to where we want to go. Have we gotten there yet? Mm. I don't know. So this also feels like because it's caught in mid-action, maybe it's to say our country is still going somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. That is the sense actually I got from a lot of the works.
Mm-hmm.
There was an uncertainty, and there was again, you know, with the title that mm-hmm. that kind of caught between caution and hope almost.
Yes,
you know, I must say for me, I did think that as a whole, the sculptures in the show were very, very strong,
mm-hmm.
and one of the ones that kind of depicts that idea for me was there was a huge parahu in
yes.
the middle of the exhibit.
Uh-huh.
It's by Sharmiza Abu Hassan. It's called Dulu Prahu Kini Takungan. It's like a sort of a light blue traditional prahu,
mm-hmm.
but the idea is that it's now of no use. And it's an object that is so culturally rooted in this part of the world. But then now, what is it for?
Mm-hmm.
And it's filled with, so the takungan that she talks about, the sort of the idea of the water, it being filled with water and not being used anymore.
Yeah.
She's used what looks like scrap metal
yes.
to create that effect.
Yes.
I really liked it.
Uh-huh.
And it has that notion of not quite knowing what all of this means. Like we're moving ahead,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps developing, but what are we leaving behind,
mm-hmm.
right? Like at what cost?
Okay.
And the accompanying notes of that sculpture also talk about how, you know, the word brahu, there are so many contexts and interpretations and sort of poetry and stories mm-hmm. that revolve around brahus. And now what? And that I liked a lot.
I found the works that were on the right-hand side next to the parahu.
Mm-hmm.
That was by Chi Ahmad Azza.
Mm-hmm.
So there was three huge works. And it had like one particular work overlooking the sea and one in the middle which had like a sawapadi sort of a scenery.
These are the ones where then they're sort of overlaid with like a darker, like
yes.
an animal.
Yeah, so yeah. It almost feels like, I'm not sure if it's like, it's a print that like had charcoal drawn on top of it, right? So there were three works and these works are huge. So that reminded me of this whole very kampung feel, you know, and again, it was sort of maybe showing to me that like, hey, there are all these different lands and we don't know what energies are present in this particular land.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that for me, I found, again, a bit dark, but at the same time, it was sort of giving me this feel that there's more than what you see. Maybe also with the new government saying, hey, we're going to fix everything and, you know, everything's going to be all right. And then within the first few months, we see that, no,
yeah.
it's going to take a lot more time mm-hmm. than that. And maybe they were also giving responses that we didn't think would come from the new government, right?
Yeah.
And then suddenly they're like, oh, yeah, things were not as easy as we thought.
Mm-hmm.
So that these three works sort of gave me that feeling that like, hey, it's a beautiful scenery, but we have all this underlying dark images coming. So are the new people in the government, you know, kind of being pulled by the power play that they didn't have before, mm-hmm. and now they're being drawn into that.
What did you think of the visual motifs and the language that was present in not just, you know, a particular painting or series, but as a whole?
Mm-hmm.
We've said many times about this idea of this Nusantara,
yes.
and how it felt very local and very yep. familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I was very excited
mm-hmm.
by how, you know, there was so much that felt so local
yes.
in a very organic way. And there were these like themes and motifs that were repeated in many different works.
I felt like this was one of the most cohesive exhibitions that I've been to, because I don't know whether they tried or whether it came organically, but it looked like these artists all sat down together and had these experiences of Malaysia together and came mm-hmm. out with these works together.
Mm.
Nothing there, like you said, when we were talking earlier, nothing there felt disjointed.
Yes.
Nothing
yes.
there felt out of place. And one theme, though, that came across felt the darkness of it. Like a lot of artists had used very visually darker image, you know, in terms of color choices, in terms of just visual language and the subject matter. There was also, I felt, this sort of confusion, right, of like being there and not being there. Mm-hmm. Again, coming back to the theme.
Yeah, yeah.
So that sort of came across.
Like a almost a somberness or a melancholy sort of approach to these ideas.
Yeah.
And I think absolutely, like, you know, sometimes in some works very overtly.
Mm-hmm.
And then in some works, it's just a feeling that you kind of carry away. Even with Tan Nancy's other works,
yeah.
Which, you know, at one glance are sort of very bright, like
yep.
yellows and blues, which mm-hmm. respond very directly to the elections.
Mm.
But then she's used vegetable dyes.
Yes.
And, you know, and so the resulting effect is less intense and exciting and more almost melancholic.
Yeah.
Because the colors are transparent, translucent.
Mm-hmm.
They feel a little bit cautious. And I think that's repeated across the board with many of the works.
Yeah. One particular work that I sort of wasn't so sure what this was doing here was, I guess, there was one with the public participation where volunteers came in and they put pelampung
right.
together, and they had made this huge circle with pelampungs, and then they had wrapped it with more sort of plastic material. I bumped into another artist and we were discussing that particular work, and, you know, he said, that looks like, you know, something that is relevant to the refugees and immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And that made sense. But reading the caption didn't really explain to me. So I don't know. Did that make any sense to you?
So
what did you feel about it?
I think as thematically
uh-huh.
or what it was supposed to be doesn't really resonate with me very much.
Mm-hmm.
However, visually,
mm-hmm.
the way it's displayed,
mm-hmm.
because it sits right. So when you walk in, the prahu,
yes,
and then it sits right beyond the prahu.
Yeah.
So when you see it, there's
okay.
a giant sort of circle or
okay.
almost an arch,
yeah.
and it looks like the prahu is heading towards it.
Okay,
So visually, yeah. for me, that was like, wow, like what is this? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it looks so exciting. I almost thought it was the same work at one point.
Okay.
And second, and that's kind of why I found this work maybe a little bit whimsical,
mm-hmm.
there were these two little girls who were walking around the gallery,
mm-hmm.
and they went straight for it. They were little, like, you know, 3 and 5 maybe,
okay.
you know, sisters, and mm-hmm. they'd come with their dad. They just went straight for it. And they were like, oh, ni pelampung, ayah, you know. I saw they were very excited. And I said, you know, I told them, oh, you know, there's a video there if you want to see how they make it.
Okay.
You know, these kids, you know, you talk about short attention span. They stood there and watched that entire video.
Mm.
And they were so excited. And then after watching the video, they came back to the thing and they were like, oh, you know, this is what they did. And so I thought, maybe it doesn't speak to me,
mm-hmm.
but maybe it speaks to people, some
yep.
other people, right?
Yep.
It works for those kids,
yep.
right? And
yep.
and it, I think it was the only thing that worked for them in the whole gallery.
Yes, because everything else is rather heavy. Right?
Yeah, so maybe it's an idea of an abstract idea, a shape, or it's just fun.
Yeah, I guess when I went in, it was all rather quiet and I was discussing it with another artist, Sha Koyo.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both like trying to wonder, how's this related back to politics? And we were going around.
Mm-hmm.
So I came across a video the maze called the Figure Studies Number 3, and it was by Kamal Mustafa. Mm-hmm. And I think it was about an 8 minutes long video, right? So that video, again, sitting there, it was talking about, you know, people in who are caught in this maze and they are looking for this exit, right? They're finding for happiness, and it says happiness is outside there, and everyone follows, and they see other people along the way, they bump into each other, whatever, and they go out, they find it, and then it's too lonely there. Mm-hmm. And then they come back into what they're familiar with. And that hit me like a ton of bricks.
I think it might for a lot of people, to be honest.
Because, like, aren't we all finding for an escape? And the escape is always somewhere else. The grass is always greener on another side, right? So that, if you consider yourself an artist, an activist, the other side, is it really better than where we currently are, you know? It really just made me question everything I believed in, I suppose. So 8 minutes and visually stunning, right? Visually stunning. I felt like I was trying to figure out the techniques used to create the videos. I would say it had a very trippy effect to it.
Yes, definitely. I you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, right? Because the other part of this exhibition, which they say it's trying to do, is to examine the artist's place within this society, within these structures of power.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're an artist.
Yeah.
Does that video connect with some of those themes?
Of course. I think when you're trying to create works and you're trying to say, well, we always try to move the society closer to an ideal perception that we think, you know, is better for the society, right? But is this ideal really what we think it is? Because we've not, as artists, we think that's ideal, but we have not lived in a place like that, and we don't know what are the effects of living in a place like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was younger, parents would always say, oh, move to Australia, and life would be better there. And now you just know that it's a different kind of battle you're going to, you know, when you go to more developed countries, so to say. And so then how, like you were saying, you know, we are on this parahu and we are going somewhere, but at what cost? What are we leaving behind? What are our identities that we're leaving behind? Mm. So then as artists, do we hold on and cling on to our roots closer than before and say, no, don't let go of this? Or do we say, you know, we have to be more sensitive and like give everyone an equal opportunity? You know, this exhibition seems to have put the whole burden to the artist to say, hey, interpret it. And so that's why maybe this whole confusion is coming.
Perhaps, right? Perhaps. Maybe more so for you than me. But then, you know, that actually might be what it's about, because one of the things that the exhibition has is these excerpts or quotations that are put up all around, from everyone, from artists to political commentators to art critics to writers, you know, and all discussing what art is, what art can do, what it cannot do, its limitations, its potential. Yep. And I found that very interesting and sometimes jarring, because I'm not sure whether there was a structure to how they were put up and whether they were meant to be sitting alongside certain kinds of works or not. But it does create that literally walking around, it puts you in that position of wondering, where do I stand?
Yes.
And I mean, I'm not an artist, but where do I stand? Am I a part of the structure? Do I stand apart? Does anything I do mean anything? Am I just perpetuating the same ideas that have already existed? And I think that really worked for me.
Yeah. Overall, I really felt the Antara Itu and Ini, it really came out very strongly, you know, and very well researched as well. Putting all of this information together, like you said, it was one place to go and get sort of really allow yourself to absorb, okay, here's where we stand right now. So it gave me a lot to think about. That's good. An exhibition that makes you think when you leave, and an exhibition that I suppose leaves you a bit confused in that sense. For me, I always find this good.
And an exhibition that, as you said earlier, is it's actually very cohesive, very well curated. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a single work that I felt was weak. Of course, not everything will connect with everyone in the same level, but I didn't think there was a single work that felt like this doesn't belong here. It's just been put here to take up space. Mm-hmm. And to so strongly speak of Malaysian identity, Nusantara identity.
Yep.
I
think the key there was without trying so hard.
Without trying so hard, yes.
You know, it felt very natural. It felt... That was what I liked about it the most as well.
Anything that could have been better or didn't quite work?
Again, we spoke about this before as well. When it comes to the writings, some artists had the bayadatta on, some artists didn't. Some artists had a very long explanation. I just wish things were a bit more systematic in that sense.
Yeah, I've wondered, and again, because even the previous show that we did, we reviewed together, was at the National Arts Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering whether this is an issue with the gallery itself,
mm-hmm.
or whether, you know, it just so happened that they both suffered from the same issues. For me, some of the works, you know, the labeling and mm-hmm. where the works were
yep.
confusing.
Yep.
So I would read something and then I would think I was looking at a particular work,
mm-hmm.
and then I'd realize, no, actually, this label is in reference to something else that's on this side.
Mm-hmm.
And again, those quotes, which I thought worked well, could have, in my opinion, maybe be displayed with a different font,
yep.
or in a different way, because mm-hmm. there was no differentiation between, is this a bio? Is this a description of the work? Is
yep.
this a quotation?
Yep.
So some of those things.
Yes. And if I could add another thing, is the poster didn't do much to entice me to want to come for the exhibition.
The poster for the show itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And with the works that were exhibited were all very organic, very, you know, sort of, like we were saying, very, it had the strong local identity to it. Whereas the poster sort of had this very straight lines and cubes.
Yeah. It looked very, it looked like a very modern art, pop art
yes.
inspired exhibition,
yeah.
which is not at all what this
yeah.
was.
Then again, I am really happy with the exhibition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm glad that you were here to talk to me about it, because I really enjoyed going, and I think I would tell everyone to go check this out, primarily to get an idea of how you can have such a diversity of works
mm-hmm.
while still sitting within such a Malaysian space.
Yeah. You know, for people who think the artist only plays a very superficial role in society, this is a great show, because you go in and you see the dilemma that they have to, the choices they have to make. And it's something you can easily dismiss if you don't pay enough attention. And this is an exhibition that like sort of like pulls you really in and like doesn't let you go that easily.
Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts, Ruby. Great to have you as always.
Thank you.
Artist Ruby Subramaniam and I have been talking about Di Antara Itu Dan Ini, an art exhibition curated by Fergana Art that is on at the National Visual Arts Gallery until the 18th of November. For more information, visit facebook.com/fergana.art. You've been listening to Everyone's a Critic on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.